Drapes and a High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140. You're listening to The Drive, guys. Coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes, Jeff Howe of The Athletic. We're going to talk Niners and that big win over the Seahawks. How about them Eagles? Another big win over Buffalo. We'll get you ready for that matchup, Week 13, Eagles-Niners. Yeah, you can laugh like that. My squad is doing their thing, bro.
His tone changed when he said Eagles.
Eagles, right. Yeah, we got the Niners coming. And the Eagles, I'm telling you. No, man, I'm fired up for this week. I've been talking smack all season long about this week. I don't care about Brock Purdy's numbers against Tampa Bay. I don't care about his numbers against Seattle, Cleveland, whoever. You do it in Philly. At the link,
okay.
That's when you start to earn a little bit of my respect.
A little more respect.
A little more respect. But he ain't doing nothing right now. He beating bums right now, Brock Purdy. So we'll talk to Jeff Howe about that coming up in a minute.
What? I do got a question I want to ask you, though, because, see, you get to travel with the team.
Yes.
And, you know, this beam has become a thing.
It is.
Nationwide.
Yes.
I was in Virginia visiting my daughter. And, you know, wherever I go, of course, I got my King stuff on, right? Yeah. So I had my Sacramento Kings hat on. And I'm just walking downtown, and I heard, now, this is Virginia, bro. I don't know nobody around this joint.
The end of the world, basically. Yeah.
I don't know nobody around here. And all of her, I heard somebody say, light the beam! And I just turned around and looked and threw my hand up. And I'm like, wow.
It is a thing.
In Virginia, they're screaming, light the beam. So I know when you guys are on the road.
It's ridiculous.
And you're in other arenas and we're beating guys on the road. What does that do for you when you hear light the beam?
You know what, High Flyer?
Light the beam.
You've been around for a number of years, obviously, longer than I have. But those first couple years I was with the Kings, I ain't see no jerseys in the stands.
Right.
I ain't get no love on the road. Mm-hmm. Now you go into these buildings. People got the Fox jerseys. They got Keegan jerseys. Last few minutes of the game, light the beam. This was in Minnesota, I believe. One dude was really loud. It was like he was sitting right next to us. And he took over the whole building, man. Like, you could hear him throughout the entire building. And it gives you that sense of pride that we up now. We no longer the laughing stock of the league.
Bro. I mean, it sounds good because a lot of times we're listening to G-Man and we're here in the studio and we can hear light the beam. Light the beam.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, it just brings a smile to my face. I'm like, look at Sacramento.
Yeah, think and look, you know what's
Sacramento.
Crazy? I could see that in L.A., but when you're in Minnesota,
right.
When you're in Atlanta,
right.
When you're in Virginia.
Bro, you in Cleveland.
You're in Cleveland, and you're getting light the beam chance.
Light the beam. I'm telling you, it makes me do exactly what you're doing now.
Yes. Laughing.
I
you
love
know what?
It,
I got a point about the beam I want to raise. Something's bothering me about the beam. I'll tell you that in a minute. But first, Jay, I want to get to this call real quick. Amin's been holding on line three. He's going to talk about Draymond Green. Amin, you're on with Drapes and the High Flyer. What you got?
Well, first off, since winning 16, 5, and 12, not showing up, man, it's 14 other people on the team. Anyway, man, Draymond definitely knows who to do that to because Kelly Oubre missed 35 threes in a row and he ain't say nothing to him. and that Jordan Poole situation, I definitely lost respect for him. I think the league is better when there's enforcers. It's a better game. It's more enticing and it's better to watch. They need enforcers. But, yeah, he takes it a little too far and everybody wonder where Jordan Poole went, but – to let something like that go, you got to stop caring about everything. And dude just don't care no more, it seemed like. It's like he should at least pinch him or something. But
all right, Amin, I appreciate the call. No, man, to an extent, like, you let something like that go, and that ruined, I think, Warriors last season. And they're still trying to recover from that.
Killed it, KD. Now, like I said, I've been in locker rooms, and I've been in skirmishes. I've been in skirmishes with my teammates, but it never has gotten to a situation like that.
Right.
You cannot come back from that. I don't care what teammate you are. I knew Poole was gone. I'm like, either one of those two got to go.
Got to go.
One of those two got to go because that locker room is not going to ever be the same. The only reason they chose Draymond over Poole is because Draymond brought him four.
Right.
Poole, you didn't bring us these. Draymond did.
I want to get back to the beam real quick. because we came back from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, High Flyer, the best win of the season.
Right.
I'm excited to see the beam. It's like 12:45, 1 o'clock. I didn't see the beam.
Oh, they cut it
is
off?
Is there a certain time that the beam goes off?
Now, I don't know.
I'm going to find that out. I was a little disappointed.
Hey, I will tell you this, though.
What?
We could almost see the beam from our house. Now, that beam is doing
way
the pro.
Way out there? We out in the burbs, bro.
Bro, I looked at that beam as far as I could in my rearview mirror up because when we first had it, you would get to like about maybe 34th Street. You couldn't see it no more. It would fade out.
Right, right.
Whoa, that
they
beam,
brightened it this year, though.
That beam now is doing pro.
Hopefully we see it tomorrow against the Warriors. We talked about it a little bit in the crossover. Is this a must-win game for Sacramento?
Yes, I think so. Because, you know, this game right here absolutely means nothing in the overall scheme of 82 and the season. It means nothing.
Right.
It means everything for this tournament.
Yes.
Now, this tournament, you know, I don't know how well it's going to catch on. I don't know how far it's going to go. But I'll tell you this. Everybody wants to be in this thing and to be the number one, because it's going to always be a trivia question. You know, who was the first team to make it to the tournament? Who made the final eight? Who was the championship of this tournament? You know, you always want to be in that first category. So I think this game tonight for the Sacramento Kings means a lot because they can solidify themselves as far as making it to the next round if they win this game tonight.
Yes.
I mean tomorrow.
Yes, they win, they advance.
They end.
And I'll keep it real with you. You talk to some people behind the scenes, players, coaches, they trying to go to Vegas. they want that trip to Vegas.
Hey, they want that money.
They want that money, too.
They want that half mil.
Half mil. Think about that.
Half mil.
Think about that.
Ooh.
For an in-season tournament, bro. 500,000 high flat.
Half mil, bro. I'm talking about you getting it in. I know a whole lot I could do with a half a mil. Ooh.
You know what? I was going to ask you, too, because we're going to talk about it a little later. Have you enjoyed the in-season tournament? Are you for it? Like, because there was a lot of hate at first about it, but I've been all for it. I think it's here to stay.
Well, KD, here's another thing, too. I always go back to you have to deal with the guy's pedigree, all right? I played basketball overseas, right?
Yep.
I played in the Turkish League. Within the Turkish League, we had the Turkish Cup, right? Within the Turkish League, we had the Koric Cup. Within the Turkish League, you have the European League Cup. So I've been, you know, into playing cup games ever since 92, 93, ever since I first went over and started playing in Europe. Because those teams have those cups that's outside of the league
all
the time.
Did it mean something to those teams? Like,
oh, yeah.
You got up for those games,
yeah,
right?
Because the cups where you got your bonus money.
Okay.
You know, but the only different thing about the cups in Europe than they are here is that your cup game don't count as your in-season record.
Right, right.
They're different.
They're different. It's something separate.
But you're still playing for a cup. The EuroLeague Cup was bigger than winning the Turkish League Cup.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because if you win the EuroLeague like what Sasha did,
yeah.
If you won the EuroLeague, that means you was the best in Europe. That was Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey, France, wherever. You was the best that was in Europe. So that EuroLeague Cup is bigger than just winning the Greek championship.
What do you think it would mean for the Kings? Not only to win tomorrow against the Warriors. I get it. It's the Warriors. It's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
But to be advancing to be one of those final eight teams.
Just as big as ending that 16-year drought.
Get out of here. Come on. I'm going to push back on you.
You're the first. You are in the first top eight to go to Vegas. That's huge, man. That is huge. This is the inaugural, the first one. And if you advance, Sacramento Kings go down in history just for that. Just for that alone. You're the number one. You going the first time it happened. You got to give it love
like
that.
You got to give it love.
You got to give it love.
And what we've seen from the Kings, too. They've been balling on these in-season tournament games. They're perfect 3-0. De'Aaron Fox has been balling. He scored 43 in the first in-season tournament game, 36 in the second one that he played in. Like, I feel like the players are actually getting up for this.
I mean, this game here, man, has so many many storylines. I mean, it's got arms like an octopus. It's just like, bro, you can look at it through so many different angles, but this in-game thing really, really pushes it. It's so many other stories. You know, you can go Draymond, you can go De'Aaron Fox, you can go to Battle of North Bay, but this in-tournament game.
That adds something.
A lot. A lot.
Because winner.
It's a lot.
It's going on.
Because you know what? It's teams in the East doing the exact same thing.
Right.
It's trying to get to where we're trying to get to.
Right.
It's league-wide. It just ain't about the West Coast.
No, you're right. All right, we're going to talk more about the in-season tournament coming up in just a little bit. Also, we'll get back to Draymond Green. Plus, the Warriors, are they a flawed team? That's coming up in a little bit. But next, our guy Jeff Howe of The Athletic to talk Niners, Eagles. It's about dang time. We'll be back right here, Sactown Sports 1140. Back here on Sactown Sports 1140. Drive, guys, Drapes, and the High Flyer, Henry Turner, in for Kevin Gleason. Whitey's in Japan, probably on the shores of Okinawa right now, just chilling, hanging with family. Big trip for him. Sending love and shout-outs to him. I want to switch gears right now and get to the NFL. I've been waiting all season long for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Niners, Eagles, rivalry renewed, put up or shut up. Let's bring in my guy, Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, good to talk to you, my man. Me and Jeff go way back to our Boston days. Happy to have you on here with the Drive Guys.
Hey, what's up, man? It's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man. Let's dive right into it. Let's talk about the 49ers first. Coming off the big win against Seattle, three straight W's. They had lost three straight before the bye week. What do you think's been the biggest difference for them? Why are they back to playing as well as they were the first 5 weeks of the season?
Well, I think it's a collective thing. I mean, there's so much focus, at least I think nationally, and I'm sure in the market there too, on Brock Purdy. But it's more than Purdy. I mean, they got a little healthier, of course, on offense, and he's able to distribute the ball a little better. Getting Trent Williams back, I mean, Trent Williams is sort of quietly discussed in league circles as one of the best offensive players, one of the best non-quarterbacks on offense in the entire league. I mean, he makes that much of a difference for them. And then defensively, I mean, I don't know what was going on with their defense during that three-game losing streak, but they just weren't putting up a whole lot of resistance. So, yeah, I mean, Brock Purdy and company sort of got a lot of heat, I think, at least on a national scale. But their defense was forcing him to almost play a perfect game. And when he wasn't able to do it, I think the spotlight kind of focuses on the quarterback. And I think, you know, it's fair to an extent. And I know the people I spoke to before the season, one of their biggest concerns with Purdy is, can he lead them, you know, from behind? Can he go throw for throw in a tight game in the fourth quarter? And you know, the comeback efforts were lacking, certainly. But when they're a more balanced team, they're as good as anybody in the league.
Jeff Howe of The Athletic joining us. I want to ask you about Brock Purdy, Jeff, because here's the thing. And High Flyer, you could chime in on this too if you want. I've been saying all season long, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. He's good. He's good. But he got weapons, Jeff. You throw Mac Jones in this situation, Jeff, and I know you see Mac Jones a lot. You throw Mac Jones in this situation, I don't know if he'd be as good, but he'd be much better than what he is in New England. Is Brock Purdy a product of the system and talent? And does it take a huge win on the road, let's say this week against Philly, to silence those doubters?
I have learned a lot, especially over the last 2 years, about how necessary it is to have everything around you moving in the right direction if you're a young quarterback or a quarterback of any age. I mean, look at Tom Brady in his final year in Tampa. You know, the offensive system was stale. The offensive line wasn't great. And Tom Brady didn't look great as a result. Look at Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer. I mean, nobody could have succeeded there. You look at Mac Jones in his rookie year compared to Mac Jones with Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. And the toll that took on him last year and bled into this year. There are very few, if any, quarterbacks who can go into an imperfect situation and play at a high level. I mean, maybe Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, even Mahomes has kind of struggled at times when he doesn't play within himself or within Andy Reid's structure. I mean, you look at the way that Josh Allen has struggled on some of it, certainly on his own. So the product of the system thing, I think, is taking away from what Brock Purdy's been able to accomplish. Now, obviously, that Kyle Shanahan system is user-friendly once you have shown an ability to operate within it. And not everybody can do that, and clearly. And Brock Purdy has done it very at a very high level. If you put Mac – like, if they drafted Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance, and if Mac Jones got off to a better start, yeah, I think that would have been a perfect situation, a perfect setup for somebody like Mac Jones. Like you said, I agree that I don't know if Mac Jones could have operated at as high of a level as Brock Purdy is at when he's on his game. I think he's got some intangible elements that have been on display with the toughness and some of the mobility. But, yeah, the product of the system is – it's kind of like nails on a chalkboard for me, because I think it takes away from the credit of the quarterback, and it also dismisses how important having that system in place is for the quarterback.
But you know what, Jeff? I have to say this. You know, when you have a system that's tried and true like Shanahan does, it works. And I think that makes a quarterback even bring out the best of himself, because really, you don't have to be Herculean on your own. You know, you don't have to just tuck the ball and make something happen on the run. You know, you can just go through the motions in the system, because the system is going to make something happen for you.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best offensive coordinators, the best play callers, or best offensive-minded head coaches in this situation, those guys are always going to be able to scheme up a way to get guys open. And it doesn't have to be somebody with the talent level of a Debo or an Ayuk or a Kittle or a McCaffrey. I mean, you get the fifth guy, it doesn't matter who it is. If you've got the right scheme and you've got that art as a play caller, you're always going to be able to find and create opportunities, and you're certainly going to be able to call plays to your quarterback's strengths. Shanahan's system is outstanding. There's a reason why there are only a handful of people who can do it at the level that he's done it. And everybody's trying to hit the copycat league and that cliche. People are always trying to steal the best coach's stuff, but there's an absolute art form in being able to call it within the flow of the game on Sunday with the adversity and all that stuff that comes with it.
Jeff, let's talk about the opponent for this week, the Philadelphia Eagles. Another tight game, another close game. Jalen Hurts leading them down the field, getting the touchdown in overtime as they beat the Buffalo Bills 37-34. When you look at Philadelphia and all the tight games that they've played, the fact that they've won those games, should that be celebrated or a cause of concern if you're an Eagles fan?
Celebrated, because they are working through some things. They haven't played a perfect game, and who knows, maybe they won't, if there is such a thing as a perfect game. But I think it's absolutely fascinating that they are winning these games, whether they're lower-ish score. I mean, they don't play a lot of low-scoring games, but they can. I mean, if they need to, you got Jalen Hurts playing at an MVP level. And then you got the high scoring game, like, you know, Buffalo, a medium ish scoring game against Kansas City. But like, this is a team that continues to find different ways to win. And the more confidence that you have in yourself when you put yourself in those situations, I mean, that manifests throughout the course of the season. I mean, we saw it with the Patriots for however many years. I mean, last year you saw Jacksonville with that type of element. How many times when the game's on the line, you got Patrick Mahomes with the ball in his hand, it doesn't matter how he's played for 3.5 quarters, whether it's great or poor or somewhere in between, you know, somebody who's able to deliver. Now you've got the Eagles who are playing it that sort of way, and it's, you know, Hurts has been outstanding. I think probably at this point my pick for MVP. But not just that, I mean, you've got guys like A.J. Brown, who at the receiver position is able to take over games and make game-winning plays on a weekly basis. I mean, this is a team that really believes in itself. What Nick Sirianni has done after losing both coordinators, after losing the Super Bowl, I mean, the toll that takes on a team to kind of recollect yourself over the offseason, to come back to work on a weekly basis, And to, again, to do it with two new play callers is outstanding. I mean, it's really impressive what they've done. I also think, you know, if they were, let's say they were undefeated, let's say they were 11-0 at this point, I would be more concerned, which I know is kind of a weird thing to say, but when you start to get that pressure starts to catch up to you. So when you're in those closer games, you get a little tighter. You know, you can sit there and look at the schedule and say, how in the world did they lose to the Jets? And you should say that. But it's probably the best thing that happened to them because they got that one out of the way. And they've got, like, this incredible string of opponents here. They just knocked off the Cowboys, Chiefs, and Bills in succession. And they were all one-score games. And they keep delivering at the end. I think it's really impressive.
You know what? Let me put this out there first and foremost because I want to continue to work on this show. I like what Jalen Hurts is doing as a quarterback. I have to agree with you on that. But I do want to ask you this, you know, because we talk about the 49ers and we say they're pretty much the most balanced team in the NFL as far as on the offense and defensive side. When you look at the Eagles, are they more offensive dominant? Are they winning games through their offense or are they capable of winning games through their defense?
They are capable of winning games defensively. I mean, they've had some inconsistencies with their secondary. Their pass rush isn't as good as it was last year, but I mean, they had like a freakishly good pass rush last year. So there's no shame in not having 75 sacks again for a second year in a row. But I mean, this is a team that now can win offensively because Jalen Hurts is playing at such a high level. And again, the AJ Brown factor is outstanding. And you've got Devontae Smith, who, I mean, it's still incredibly talented, hasn't put up the same numbers as A.J. Brown, but I think that's a testament to how well A.J. Brown is playing. So I think this is more of an offensive team right now, but that's, again, there's no shame on what their defense is doing because they can get after you. They still can rush the passer at a high level, and they're still sort of figuring things out with the new defensive play caller too. And again, I think that's kind of why they haven't played that perfect, quote-unquote perfect game that you've heard them reference after a lot of these close ones this season. But they just keep getting better.
Jeff Howe of The Athletic joining us. Jeff, obviously big game for both teams. We started this show off earlier talking about how it's probably a more important game for the Niners going into this. How do you see it, and how do you think this one plays out?
It's definitely a more important game for the Niners because they're still alive for home field. So if they lose, you know, you're three back of the Eagles, you're not catching them. So now all of a sudden you know that the NFC goes through Philly. And that's not an easy place to play in January. It's probably a night game, probably going to be cold, probably going to be uncomfortable for a team coming from San Francisco if they end up getting to that point. So if the Niners are able to knock them off, you know, the Eagles still have to come back. They've got the Cowboys after that. They go to Seattle after that. And then they've got three pretty easy ones from there on out. But, I mean, if they can knock off Philly with the way Philly's playing right now, with the way Philly is able to win these games, then that shows what the 49ers can do in January. And I think ultimately that's the most important thing. Whereas if the Eagles lose this game, they've still got a buffer in the NFC East. They've still pretty much got a buffer. And they've still got a little bit of room for error in terms of the chase for the number one seed. And they can sit there and say, yeah, you know what, we lost to the Niners, but look at everybody else that we've beaten over the last couple months, and they're still going to know that they're a good team.
Jeff Howe of The Athletic, appreciate your time, my man. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Jeff P. Howe. Jeff, always good talking to you, man.
Yeah, likewise. Appreciate you guys for having me.
All right, we're going to continue to get you ready for that big game all throughout the week. Eagles Niners NFC Championship rematch. You're listening to The Drive, guys. Here it's Drapes and the High Flyer, Henry Turner. When we come back, we'll get right back to basketball. We'll handicap this matchup tomorrow. Kings Warriors in season tournament advancement on the line. Sactown Sports 1140. You are listening to The Drive, guys, here on this Monday afternoon. Drapes and the High Flyer, Henry Turner. Take you up to 4:30 Monday Night Football right here on Sactown Sports. It'll be the Bears and the Vikings. Don't want to miss that. Big game coming up. You got to check that out right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Got another big game, obviously, tomorrow between the Kings and the Warriors. Final in-season tournament group game. We'll hear from Mike Brown and some of the guys coming up in just a little bit. High Flyer. But let's just talk. Forget about in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors have owned the Kings. Let's call it what it is. They've been our daddies. Ooh. I know. I know. I hate to say it, too, but I'm a realist.
You know, I can't call another grown man daddy. I know. That just don't work.
But we got – you can't. But, hey.
Yeah, they
– they need to come out and win then tomorrow, right?
They do. They do. I mean, you know, the Kings have been swinging, and they've been swinging, and the Golden State Warriors have pretty much dodged every punch. Right. So at some particular point, they're going to have to connect. Mm. I'm with you on that. You know, if they're trying to take over the North Bay thing that they have going on, and the big brother, little brother, the Kings are going to have to connect for sure.
Yes, I agree. The Warriors have, you know, even without Draymond in the first game of the regular season, then no Fox, they still were able to win on Klay Thompson's jumper. And so, you know, it's time. It's time, Sacramento. Before we dive fully into that game, I want to revisit the six-game road trip.
Okay.
Because here's the thing about it. The Kings were rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight wins before they went on the road trip. Then they got three more. They had a six-game winning streak.
Impressive.
But then they lose a couple in a row. And then they come back and beat Minnesota. At 9-6, where do you think the Kings are? Like, the eye test, what do the Kings tell you? Because they got six losses to the Houston Rockets, to the Warriors, and to the Pelicans.
Okay.
They've only lost to three teams.
Yes, but let's throw this out there. Okay, we know who the Golden State Warriors are.
Yes.
We know their pedigree.
Yes.
It's no slight to lose to Golden State. When you walk into Houston and you get smacked the way you did, it's a little bit of an embarrassment. And then you come back the next night, and it's pretty much the same thing.
Yep.
All right? You can say, okay, we slipped, and, you know, and it was our fault to one another. You got to give Houston a heck of a lot of credit.
Mm.
Because right after Houston smacked you up, Houston has been on a roll. They're playing good basketball. Now, with that being said, you just can't look at Houston now saying that, okay, that was a gimme game. Those dudes took that game. And they've taken other games from other NBA teams. Okay, it is what it is. Now, you go into New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
right? New Orleans got Zion back. B.I. still there. You got the big fella down low, and you got some very aggressive guards. Now, they got everybody except C.J. McCollum. When they had C.J. McCollum, where were they at in the West? They were ranked number one.
Yes, they were, yep.
So it's not like you walked in there and played Sutter Middle School, all right? You went in there and played a basketball team that is capable of winning. And you went in, you know, in hostile waters. Of course, New Orleans wanted to win. They smacked you up pretty good, but I like the way they bounced back and got that game in Minnesota. The Kings aren't going to win out. They're not winning all 82.
We understand that. Yes.
You're going to have some hiccups. My big thing, and I hope they can duplicate what they did last year, you just don't lose three in a row.
Mm.
You're going to lose some games. You just don't lose three in a row. If you don't go on those 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game losing streaks, you put yourself in a very good position at the end.
But here's where I'm afraid.
Okay.
If I'm a Kings fan, which I am. They're 9-6, high flyer.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6 in the West.
Okay.
I could argue that it's been a good season so far.
Very good.
But I'm going to read the standings, and you tell me who they're better than.
Okay.
Because this is the issue. The Kings could play better basketball
than
they did last season.
Mm-hmm.
But because everything is so tough, it might not show in the standings. And that's what I'm afraid of. Hold on, High Flyer. Let's run down the list.
See?
I'm
going to be talking again.
I have a big word right here. But seriously, and I want your honest opinion here. Minnesota, are they better than Minnesota? Will they finish ahead of Minnesota?
I'll have to say it's 50-50.
Okay.
50-50 with Minnesota.
OKC.
I'm 50-50 with OKC.
Okay. You see where I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix.
Phoenix is going to be tough.
Denver.
You're talking to ex-champs. I always give the champs the leeway until they're not the champs.
Dallas.
I believe we can win.
Okay.
I think we match up pretty well with Dallas.
All right. So right now, based on what we're doing right here,
mm-hmm.
at best the Kings are the third best team.
Okay.
At best. That's right now.
At best.
And that's yes. a couple 50-50s.
Right.
Okay, let me keep going. Lakers.
I think we got L.A. Okay. I really do. I think we can. I think the way the Kings play, that up and down high octane, LeBron gets a little winded, a little tired, even though he's still playing Herculean. You know, shout out to the Kings, to the King. But I think the style of play really bothers L.A.
I'm not talking about personal matchups, though, High Flyer.
No, no.
I'm talking about when it's all said and done, the records, the standings, 50-50. That's what I'm concerned about. That's why the losses to Houston. Okay. That's why you got to win these games.
I'm with you. You need to win those games. But I tell you what comes into play, and we have no control over this. We've seen it last year. Health. These teams that you say, okay, you know, last year, Paul George and Kawhi couldn't stay on the floor together. The Clippers was terrible. All right. We seen what Street Clothes Davis did last year. They were terrible. All right. You know, what happens to Memphis when Ja go down? Okay. They're in a different category. Take Steven Adams out the equation. And then Brenda Clark don't come back. Okay. You know what? Memphis is finished. They were the number two seed last year. So health plays a huge part. If the Sacramento Kings can stay healthy the exact same way they did last year, six is the least. Six is the least.
But that don't make me happy, High Fire.
You know what? It makes me happy. I tell you what.
Really?
I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
I'm going to tell you why. Everybody in the West got better. You know that. Everybody got better. So my mindset right now for the Kings, you make it straight to the playoffs. I don't want to hear that end game. I don't want to do
the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I don't want to do the play-in tournament. I want them to be solidified six or better. And then you go in and you get that first round.
You win that first round.
You win that first round. Now, I know it's going to be tough because you're going to play,
number three.
I believe they can do it.
That
could be a number of teams right now.
That could be Phoenix. That could be Minnesota.
A number of teams right now.
Okay.
But you finish six and you go in and you get that first round. That means the Sacramento Kings took a step into the right direction.
916-339-1140. Hit us up. Continuing this conversation. Because if they're number six,
Let me throw this at you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Number six gets you the playoffs. Six through one, you're going straight to the playoffs. Let's say the Kings happen to get to number two spot and they get dumped first round. Would that be better than them coming in at six and winning first round?
So you're saying, let me see if I hear you correctly. It doesn't matter, long as it's one through six.
It don't matter.
But you got to win that first round.
You got to win the first round.
Okay.
Because they can come in at that number two spot, and we could be, yay, they did better than they did last year. Yeah, but if you go out first round, it's exactly what happened last year.
But how come I can't be greedy, High Flyer?
You can.
How come I can't win a top three and a win?
You know what? You can. I'm saying for me, that's the bottom for the Kings. Be in the top six, and you make that first round jump. I'm with that. If they do that, that's a hell of a season. That's a hell of a season.
I got an exercise here that I want to continue. We're going down the standings. The Rockets.
Okay.
They should finish ahead of the Rockets, right?
Should, yes.
Should, okay.
Yep. I think they're a better team.
Pelicans.
I think they're a better team.
Warriors.
Who?
Oh, man, you hesitate over here.
I do because you know why? I never put down the heart of a champion, and they got three. Mm. They got three. And then four when you put Wiggins in there. They got four guys that has done it, has been to the mountaintop, to the pinnacle. And when you have four guys that understand exactly what it takes, that can be that exact same four that just squeaks. They can come from the play-in. And squeak it to the playoffs.
And then you got to be scared.
And do something big, exactly.
Last one, Clippers.
I'm not buying. I'm still not buying the James Harden thing. I still got a bad taste of Russell Westbrook in my mouth for the Clippers.
Really?
Yes, I don't think Russ is the guy for them.
All right.
You know, I think Russell Westbrook will be a dominant Hall of Fame player on a bad team. Because he gets to do whatever
he
wants.
He's not winning basketball. He's not conducive to win the way he plays.
If you put him as a piece of the puzzle, he's nothing. But if he's the whole pie, he's Herculean.
Mm. All right, we got much more with the High Flyer. Coming up, we got your calls as well, 916-339-1140. You're listening to High Flyer, Drapes, Sactown Sports 1140. It's The Drive, guys. Coming up next, Drapes, Sactown Sports. Drive, guys, with Drapes and the High Flyer, Henry Turner. Big one tomorrow night between the Kings and the Warriors. Coming up in just a minute, we'll get to Drapes' takes. But first, we got a call here. Jay, let's get Doug on line two. Doug's been holding for a minute. Doug, you're on with Drapes and the High Flyer.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. What's up, Doug?
Doing good.
Well, I think you and I, we talked about this before, and I was the guy that went in and told you how I figure out 52 wins. So if you go, you know, half of your road games and three quarters at home, you're right there at 51. So, and I said I went 52. So my number is now, it's still the same, but if you go 12-8 four times, you're 48-32 with two games to go. I'll give us the two games and we get to 50.
So you're still on that, Doug. You're still on that.
I'm still on that. I'll live and die by that one.
Doug, appreciate the call. What do you think, High Flyer? 50 wins. Doable for this team?
Yes.
Oh.
But they're going to have to play the right way. You know, the Kings can't have games to where you see their offense clicking big time, and then all of a sudden, you know, the next game, Harrison Barnes falls off, and Keegan Murray goes, you know, three for eight or three for ten, and Red Velvet falls into a slump. They're going to have to start playing at a certain level to where you expect for these guys to come out and play the exact same way. Because right now, KD, we're in a situation to where, do you actually think our defense can win a game for us? If everybody,
it's an improved defense. If everybody, it's a better defense.
If everybody is shooting the ball below par, like that last game we played where we only shot the ball like 28%.
Right, right.
Nobody shot the ball particularly well. Is our defense good enough to win a game like that? Keep it 100.
Probably not.
There you go.
Probably not.
There you go. See, that's why I'm saying our offense is going to have to be at a certain level on a nightly basis for this team to be successful.
But here's the thing with that point, though, High Flyer, and I know we've seen it at times, it's not going to be a whole lot of nights where everybody's off, right? It's not. Come on now.
No, no.
First 15 games shooting-wise is an anomaly. Okay. They're good. I can't see this prolonging. I can't see Keegan Murray, who practiced fully today. Hopefully, he plays tomorrow.
He's due.
He's due, right?
He's due. Right. He's due to have a breakout game. I will give you that. But what I'm saying is, De'Aaron and Sabonis is going to have to be at a certain level no matter what.
And that's what superstars are,
no matter
right?
what, right. They're going that's to be at a certain are. Level no matter what. You're going to have to know what you're getting out of Malik Monk coming off the bench. Okay, you're going to have to know what Harrison Barnes is giving you on a nightly basis. Same thing with Keegan and Red Velvet. We're talking about things to where you're doing something special. We're not talking about, we just squeak it in here. No, we're talking about a team that we want those guys to go to the second round of the playoffs. In order for them to do that, they're going to have their guys play at a certain level on the offensive end because our defense isn't quite good enough right now to sustain a win if we're not shooting the basketball well.
But how good does the defense need to be? Because Mike Brown says middle of the pack, he'll take 15 in the league.
I'll go with that too.
Okay.
I'll go with that, but I'll tell you what. If your defense is going to be at the middle of the pack, where your offense has to be?
Top five?
Elite.
Okay.
Elite. So those nights to where your offense isn't elite, you might struggle. You might not get that one.
We didn't see that Friday night in Minnesota.
No.
The offense was flowing.
No. Offense flowed and defense clicked.
Everything was clicking.
Yeah, and see, on those nights to where everything is clicking, you ain't got to worry about defense because ain't nobody going to be able to outscore you. They cannot stay with you on that run.
Hmm. No, you're right. You're right. I want to get to Drape Stakes. Have you heard Drape Stakes before?
Yeah, come on, man. I listen to the show.
All right, I just want to make sure because you know what Drape Stakes is.
Yes, I do.
It's my time to get off. Get my stuff going.
Bro, I'm
you okay with that?
I'm with you, man. Do your thing, bro.
All right. Jay.
Hey, get your piece of the pie.
Exactly. I want the big slice, the big piece of the chicken.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Welcome to Drape's Takes here, November 27th edition. Sacramento Kings back at the crib, back home. Let me just tell you about that six-game road trip they went on, High Flyer. Sure, you get the early wins out there. You beat the Dallases of the world. You get the win out there. That's nice. But what you did Friday night, High Flyer, going into Minnesota and beating Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, that was your best win of the season. And that's the blueprint how this team has to play.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And not just beat them, Kyle, but wire.
Pretty much wire to wire, yes.
That's what I'm saying. So that means you're going into a hostile environment. These dudes have won seven straight on their home floor. They're feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yes.
They should come in with the swag. Chest stuck out. Kings went in there and smoked them big time.
They won 124-111, and they did it early. 38-31 in the first quarter. Played them evenly in the second. Evenly in the third. Beat them. You talk about the defense, High Flyer. Guess what? Minnesota had 15 points in the third quarter. So they may not be able to play a full 48,
right?
But they can turn it up at time to time.
And they're going to need that. They're going to need that because on certain nights or certain quarters, you don't particularly shoot the ball well. You got to figure out a way how to win a basketball game. That's called closing games out. You know, you're not going to always shoot the ball well. But it's like this. If you're up 10, KD, and you're not shooting the ball well, your defense better ramp up because you better not let them score.
Exactly. And that's what they did, especially in that third quarter, outscoring them 22-15. Can I give my boy Mike Brown some love?
Always.
Can I give Mike Brown some love? And this is why. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you how it flies. I can't calm down, Jay. It's Drape's Takes. Mike Brown went with Kessler Edwards for 18-plus minutes, and it just wasn't for defense, High Flyer. Kessler delivered offensively. He had 10 points. He had a couple of threes. If Kessler Edwards is giving you offense, you got to put that boy on the floor.
Now you got another dilemma.
Yes. Yes.
Now you have another dilemma about a guy that deserves to get minutes. You know, that's the one thing that I like about Coach Brown. He don't give a damn who you are. If you're giving it to him that particular moment, you're going to be on the floor. I mean, that's a winning man's recipe right there.
You are right about that. And I want to add to Mike Brown. He went with the same play in that third quarter over and over. The high horns action. He said after the game, Domantas Sabonis came to him and said, "Hey, coach. Jay, we got that sound? Let's hear from Mike Brown after that game."
Our guys, especially after, you know, two tough losses down in New Orleans, for them to bounce back the way they did, it was beautiful. One thing I would say is we ran that high pick and roll action, double high pick and roll action with Fox, I don't know how many times in the second half. And it was funny because at halftime, you know, I didn't think we were defending at the level we're capable of. And so Domas, I'm talking about defense. Because, you know, we were shooting 56% from the field in the first half. We scored 70 points. And so Domas said, "Coach, what about that play that we spent 20 minutes on? We spent 20 minutes on this play, and you don't even call it one time." I said, "Domas, you're right." I said, "You're 100% right. I'll call a play, all right? But we scored 70 points, and we're shooting 56 or 57% from the field." And he goes, okay, I got you defensively." I said, "Okay, get me defensively, and I'll call a play." And I don't know how many times, I probably called a play 20 times at least. So after the game, I asked Domas, I said, "Domas, did I call a play enough for you?" He said, "Yes, coach." I said, "Thanks for holding me accountable."
How about Mike Brown
holding me accountable?
The relationship with the players for Domas to be like, "Coach, we done worked on this forever and we ain't even running it." That's something special, High Flyer.
You know what, KD? Every good team, the coach has got to get the guys to buy in to what he is selling. And Coach Brown has got these guys. They love what they run. They love the style that they run. He's totally preaching defense, defense. And all of these guys understand that if they're going to make it to that next level, that their defense has to come up along with how they play on the offensive side.
Kings with a big win. And that's Drape's Takes this week. It'll be back Wednesday, High Flyer. Another edition of Drape's Takes.
All right.
Unless I get on a rant. I might get on a rant.
Hey, like I said, I'll be quiet.
All right. But you're going to be talking again.
Talking again.
Final half hour here of The Drive, guys, coming up next here on Sactel Sports 1140. Kings, Warriors. Why I say the Warriors are a flawed team and they are done. They are toast. We got that for you next here on The Drive, guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.